This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Hezrul Ashraf. So for many of us, the first MCO probably seems ages ago. And while we've just entered a new one, I think it's fair to say that many of us are looking forward to a time where we won't need them anymore. But for Vijay Krishnamurthy and Shireen Zainuddin, our experiences in lockdown are a valuable part of our history. Vijay and Shireen join me now to give a sneak peek of sorts into their project. Welcome, ladies. It's a pleasure to have you both on the show.
Hi.
Having good to be here.
So before we get into the book, tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got to know each other.
Over to you, Vijay. You can start this one.
Okay. To be honest, we don't quite know how far back our friendship goes, but we've been friends for 15 years plus is how I'd say it. Our kids went to the same school for a while. And actually, Shireen's son and my son were also in the same boarding school for a while. So we were asked this often, and we just say that we woke up one day and we were friends. She was there and I was there and we were friends.
Yeah, that's our standard answer. And then, you know, over the years, we kind of realized we had similar interests. We both love travel. We both love eating. We both love books. And actually, this is a bit of information we haven't told anyone else. I don't know why. It just hasn't come up. We're both part of a book club that's called the Blind Date Book Club. So it is really a love for books. And the Blind Date Book Club is that we meet every now and then and every member brings a wrapped book and we exchange it with someone else in the club. And so you go home with a blind date to curl up with in bed and you don't know, you know, what your date's going to be.
Sounds fun and adventurous at the same time.
Yeah.
So the MCO and, of course, the other various MCOs we went through was a tough time for all of us. What did your own experiences look like and how did you both cope with it? Shireen, maybe we can start with you.
I found the beginning of the hard lockdown, March 18th, I found that very difficult. I think for me, it was a real shock because I was separated from everyone except for my daughter. My son was in England and my partner was in Sarawak and we were just all separated. I found it very difficult. I felt very isolated and I was really unhappy and stressed all the time. And then 2 days into hard lockdown, I actually fell and fractured my foot. And so I felt isolated, immobile, helpless, all sorts of things. So I found it very difficult. And then as time went on, not very long, I kind of started appreciating what I did have rather than what I didn't have, you know, and all that came in about, you know, this is such a privilege, you know, the silence, the ability to connect with people without distractions like you usually have. Technology was, you know, our friend. We were all keeping in touch. And then that silence affords you a lot of time to think. So, yeah, it was a process. I mean, that was my experience. And obviously, I also had a lot of friends involved in the NGO world. And I serve on an NGO board as well. And you see how other people do with so much less. And then I realized then that everyone's experience was different. You know, we were all isolated and deprived, but our journeys were all different.
And Vijay, what did that look like for you?
Well, it was a little bit daunting to start with. It was a bit worrisome. I must say, trips to the supermarket were very stressful. The good thing was at least my kids were with us. I managed to get my son back in time before the lockdown. And the stillness is what I think filtered through for me. It was the ability of being able to sit quietly with yourself, to find your own space within your home, and to find things that occupy your time. You try and do a bit more meaningful things. I mean, there was a lot of cooking and there was chats with friends and family who hadn't seen for a while. And I think that was one good thing that came out of it. You know, being in touch with people who you keep saying, you know, I need to, I should, and you finally do. So that was a very rewarding thing to do as well during the lockdown. But it was just finding that space. When you wake up in the morning, you could hear the birds. I mean, it sounds very, very cliche, but there was no fight for, you know, with traffic and there was no pollution. It was quiet and nice.
Now, on to the book. Could you both help to sum it up for us? What and who is it about?
So it's an anthology. It's a compendium of 19 short stories. It's fictional. So we've got different voices, different experiences, different perspectives in each story. So you've got 19 stories because of COVID-19. And you've got stories that talk about feng shui, for example, Indian version of feng shui in historical Vastu Shastra. You've got one about, in The Burglar, you've got a story where poems go missing. And we've got a lovely story called Unmasked, which talks about frontliners. It's a story about what it was like for someone on the front line. So we've tried to get as many different voices. And we're happy to say that no two stories are the same. But, I mean, we do have stories from migrant communities. Yes, different and unique. And Malaysian.
Mm. And Shireen, maybe you can take this one. What inspired you both to embark on the project in the first place, right? And what was your intended goal?
Well, actually, I suppose the very start, the idea probably came from me. And it really was because of everything I said earlier. I realized that I was discovering a lot of things for myself and learning a lot this lockdown. And when I spoke to everyone else, the people I spoke to all had these different experiences, quite profound experiences, really. And when I met Viji after we were finally allowed to go out and meet friends, I told her, I've been hearing all these stories and reading about all these stories, and people have these really amazing different experiences. I think we should collect some of these stories and put them together in a book. That's really where it came from. These are interesting times, and these are, historic times, and these are really profound, impactful times. So we need to compile this, and we need to put it together. And I also said there are going to be lots of books like this. There are going to be lots of compilations of personal narratives and essays and all that kind of stuff. So I said, let's make our collection 19 pieces of fiction. Let's have people talk about their experiences, but let them do it through sort of the filter of a piece of fiction. So there's more freedom to write about your experiences. I think most people have written their short stories based on things they either experienced or read or heard or watched and put it in a story. So I love the creativity that comes from this period, what people manage to put in stories. And some of our stories are nuts, but they're brilliant. So just that sort of freedom that you get from fiction, I thought would be interesting. So that was why. And then I also thought I'd love to read. If I wasn't doing this project, if I wasn't the editor of this project and someone said, hey, there's a book out about that written by 19 Malaysian experiences or voices, because they're not all Malaysian, but they reside in Malaysia, I'd be interested in reading it.
So as you both mentioned, the stories are written by 19 different contributors with various backgrounds, each with their own experiences of the lockdown. How did you, go about selecting them and which stories to feature?
It was a strange mix of deliberate targeting and an organic thing that happened. So we kind of knew that we wanted a very diverse selection of voices. We kind of knew friends or friends of friends or people we knew, and then we wanted it to geographically represent, different parts of Malaysia as well. So it was a little bit of everything. And then things happen organically because someone will mention someone and then we will speak to someone. And yeah.
So for example, we knew we wanted to have the voice of an undergraduate. That was one of the voices that we did want to have, because what was it like studying in lockdown? Mm. So we knew we wanted that sort of a voice. We had a very refreshing take from the river. We had the perspective of a river in lockdown. So that was another very interesting voice. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, one which we felt was really very important was that of a frontliner. So there were some key voices we thought that should be reflected in this book.
Right. And Viji, maybe we can start with you on this next question. What did the editorial process look like? How long did it take to put the book together? And I guess, how long is each story?
So it took us 7 months from start to finish. I mean, soon after Shireen and I met, it was quite organic. It was quite speedy in the sense of, we approached different writers and they were all very keen and they were interested and excited to be part of it, because I think it also gave people an opportunity to do something productive in this time. And people probably had the time to do it as well, the time and the space. We were very keen to have it out in 2020. So that was a race to the finish line. Some stories took a little bit longer to come in. So some stories needed a bit more work than others. Basically, most of the stories run from about 2,500 to about 3,500 words. Shireen?
Yes, I couldn't remember the word count either, because I remember people would come back and say to us, what's the word count? So because writers wanted to know their limits, we sort of gave them a word count. But we always added, we don't really care how long or how short it is. We just want you to write whatever you feel you need, the length you feel you need to tell your story. Yes, some stories came back perfect and we didn't change a word. And then some stories needed a little bit more encouragement to get developed. Basically, Viji and I did almost all the editing, but we did have a very small team of a couple of other people who helped us with some of the editing, because it did end up being quite a lot of hard work sometimes. And we also had a proofreader, and we also had
beta readers.
And we did have one other person who helped us quite a lot with editing some of the stories as well. So there was definitely a little team. And everybody sort of had a role to play. But it was a very small team, and it was very much a
two-woman band.
Yes. Very much we kind of did pretty much everything ourselves. And then, of course, we had to shop around for publishers. And that wasn't that easy either, because it's not an easy time. Mm. So a lot of publishing houses just would go, we like it, but we don't have the budget. So we were very, very lucky and very grateful when Media Master sort of went, yep, we'll do this with you. We'll publish your book. So very grateful to Media Masters. And they have been fantastic at supporting us and cheering us on and agreeing to lots of our crazy ideas.
Now, this is a bit of a tough one, but without spoiling too much of the book, do you both have a favorite story, a story that you think, maybe we should all read first?
Mine, of course. No. Veej, I mean...
Yes. I mean, we both do. I mean, my story, my favorite story in the book is called Look at Me, and it's written by Serena Saleh. And I don't want to say too much because, like you say, I don't want to spoil it, but it's a wonderful story about this lady who is in lockdown in the UK, a Malaysian in the UK in lockdown, and how she fashions her life after one of the Anita Bruckner stories. And that's all I will say, but it's written so beautifully with lovely references to Malaysia and done in a very clever way. That was my favorite.
I have said, that my favorite book, my favorite story in the book is Pete Teo's story, which is called The Obituary of Lazarus Lee, because it's insane and beautiful and clever and simple and yet layered. So having said that, I like, so many stories I like, and for different reasons. I like the opening story by Candice Fung, which is just funny and but really well written and so Malaysian. I love Ranjit Singh's crazy play, which takes place in outer space, which, the first time I read it, I just couldn't stop laughing from beginning to end. And I was like, please tell him we have to have this in our book, because he was kind of like umming and eyeing if he was going to give us this piece or not. And I'm like, we have to have this piece. I like Alistair Clare's story because it takes place in Kuching, and I won't give that away, but it's really sort of whimsical and clever and different, a completely different perspective as well. I love Viji's story, just beautiful phrasing, beautiful imagery, sad, really hits you. Manicure Control Order by Mark. And he's an Irish writer who has lived in Malaysia for a while, but he just really gets that local voice so well, better than I could do, and a completely different perspective of immigrant workers. So there are so many that I like. Pauline Fan, my God, her writing is beautiful, just beautiful. So Hartini Zainuddin, her, just so gentle and a very important voice, three very important voices, actually, about immigrants. Refugees, actually. So there is so
hard to pick. Like. It's hard to pick.
It's hard to pick. I like so many for different reasons.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Now the book also includes two illustrations, by Anurendra Jagadeva and Maya Ranjit Singh. Could you tell us a bit about those illustrations? I mean, why did you decide to include them?
Because we thought it would be nice to break the book with a couple of illustrations in it. And Anu is a good friend, actually. He's a very dear friend. And when I asked him, would you like to, you know, would you be keen to? And he, you know, immediately said yes. And he used to do comics in a previous lifetime before he became a very famous artist. He used to do, you know, he used to illustrate for magazines as well. So for him, it was, he said it was a wonderful walk down memory lane for him. He hasn't done this in a long, long time. So his, it's very cute. I mean, we're not going to say what it is, but it's a very cute reflection of family life before lockdown and after lockdown. And Maya's is a very quirky take on what COVID-19 is. And that comes at the end of the book.
And also, I mean, I think, you know, storytelling is storytelling, you know, so you have the written story and then sometimes you can tell a story with just an image. And that was nice to have. And that's what Anu and Maya did. So it's an, yes, it's a nice little sort of break, but it's also, you know, just as valid.
As valuable. Yes.
In telling a story.
Lovely. For those of us who'd like to, well, check out the Lockdown Chronicles, how can we get our hands on a copy?
Get many copies. I stop at one. Our main distributor, our main retailer, rather, is Books Access. And we'd really like to thank them, too, because they have been incredible in supporting us as well. So it's the book is available in all Books Access stores. And they have, I think, I could be wrong, I think 12 throughout the country.
Yeah.
And they also...
online.
They also online. So you can ship, you can get the books shipped to any country in the world. And then we are also Veej, right, from this
yes month. we're also the book is also available at Lit Books. It's a lovely little independent bookshop in PJ. They're carrying our books as well, and it'll soon be in Penang as well.
Yeah, it's already in Penang at Books Access, but it will soon be in Penang in Gerard Budaya Penang, China House, and the ENO. It will also be in major bookshops soon, I think. I think Media Masters is sorting out distribution with our distributor in KL. So it's meant to be in the bookshops in KL soon enough, but we just don't know the dates for that yet. Yeah.
There you go, folks. VG, Shireen, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was VG Krishnamurthy and Shireen Zainuddin talking about their new book, The Lockdown Chronicles, a compilation of different Malaysian experiences during the first MCO. If you missed any of today's conversation or previous Live and Learn episodes, check out our podcasts on the BFM app, on our website at bfm.my, or subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Hezra Lashraf, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.